We begin this hour with news out of Israel. The Israeli government says they will move ahead with plans to build thousands of new settlements in the West Bank and a predominantly Palestinian section of East Jerusalem. It's a message of defiance from the government of Benjamin Netanyahu after a Security Council resolution passed on Friday at the UN condemning the construction of these projects, calling them a flagrant violation under international law. The United States did something new. It abstained from voting at the Security Council, an apparent change in U.S. policy towards Israel at the UN. And that brought swift and sharp reaction against the Obama administration from Israel, from Israeli hawks here in the U.S., and from President-elect Donald Trump, who said things would be different when he takes office. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his lieutenants say President Obama didn't just abstain from that vote, but orchestrated the resolution critical of Israel in the first place. Here's Netanyahu speaking on Christmas Day.
Over decades, American administrations and Israeli governments have disagreed about settlements. But we agreed that the Security Council was not the place to resolve this issue. We knew that going there would make negotiations harder and drive peace further away.
Well, in the aftermath, ambassadors were recalled, relationships suspended, a final act of a U.S. administration with an already strained relationship with its ally Israel. But could all this change under a new President Trump? A lot of people in Israel certainly hope so.
Thank God in 25 days we will see a change in the American administration and also a change in American policy. And President-elect Trump already made clear that his policy is going to be totally different.
That's Israel's regional cooperation minister speaking over the weekend. Joining us now once again is Daniel Levy. He's president of the U.S. Middle East Peace Project. Daniel Levy, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Good to be back with you, Todd.
Well, a similar resolution at the UN was vetoed in 2011, not this one. And there have been a lot of interpretations of this move by the Obama administration since the weekend, you know, a final swipe at Benjamin Netanyahu on Barack Obama's way out the door, or a marker to highlight that Donald Trump's apparent pro-settlement policy is itself a big departure from current U.S. policy. How do you see this battle at the UN Security Council over settlements and over the U.S.-Israel relationship?
Well, I think first we have to understand that there are important differences in the substance of the resolution that was voted on in the text as compared to the 2011 text, which, as you rightly mentioned, was vetoed by the Obama administration. There are things in this text which recognize not only the settlements, the illegality, the problem that that is causing, but also the deliverables on the Palestinian side. There's a reference to incitement and its prevention, terror and its prevention, security cooperation. So there are things in there substantively which meant that for the Obama administration, they could justifiably claim that they were not crossing the line in terms of allowing a one-sided resolution to pass, because this is not a one-sided resolution. In addition, there are issues of timing. In 2011, there were prospects of negotiations, and the Obama administration felt that the timing was wrong. But crucially, we also have now, since 2011, 5 more years of experiencing relentless settlement expansion and an ever more confident, some might argue overconfident, Israeli government and Israeli right wing, which are pushing the envelope. They're moving the goalposts on the entire way of dealing with the territories. And that is new. And that was central to the Obama administration explaining why they did not veto. And let's remember, virtually, and I think it is, since the 1967 war, every U.S. administration, every president has, in fact, presided over a Security Council resolution on this issue. Obama was the first president not to do so. It's not the other way around, which people are claiming that this is the first time America has allowed something to pass. That is not the case. And this was not driven by America. The idea that this was some plot behind Israel's back is not borne out by the facts, despite the claims of the Israeli
government. And I want to ask you about that, because, of course, the accusation from the Israeli government now is that not only did the Obama administration fail to veto an anti-Israel resolution, as they see it, but in fact orchestrated its authorship, let it go, and then didn't veto it to kind of take this swipe at the Netanyahu government. And of course, Netanyahu says he'll present evidence of this when Obama's no longer president.
First of all, I apologize, share everything with your listeners, but being privy to quite a lot of the negotiations and background that was going on behind this resolution, that is simply not an accurate portrayal. America did not put forward this resolution. This resolution was initially put forward by Egypt, then taken up by four other co-sponsors. And let's remember here, America was the only country not to vote yes. All of the vitriol that is coming out of the Netanyahu government in Israel is directed primarily at the United States, but the United States was the only country not to vote in favor. What we're really seeing is a pushback from the Netanyahu government that is primarily, and we're dealing with this and we should be dealing with this, but the target audience for Netanyahu is primarily the domestic audience. That's understandable. The thing that he most has to deal with is his domestic politics. And why the pushback has been so aggressive is that this rips a big hole in a central claim of Netanyahu, which is that the world doesn't care about the Palestinians, the world doesn't care about the settlements. I've got this. This is manageable. Don't worry. And he was claiming that he had made great strides in advancing Israel's relations around the world, in Africa, in Asia, with Arab states. And of course, there were a few pesky annoyances like the Obama administration, but they were out on a limb on this. And this resolution has proven that there is a global international consensus against the settlements, against the occupation. So he's chosen to target the Obama administration to create a distraction from that, to play a risky domestic political hand. But it is quite astonishing. The language that is coming out of the Israeli government against a US administration that has done so much for Israel, they are in their own actions turning this into a partisan American political issue. It's something Netanyahu has done before. It is something that I think in the long term will be very ill-advised for the Israelis.
And it's something you and I have talked about before, even on the show, that the continued isolation of most, not all, American Jews from policies of the Israeli government, policies of American Israel hawks and others, and that certainly seems to be deepening here.
Well, absolutely. And this is not going anywhere, this conflict. The Israelis aren't going anywhere. The Palestinians aren't going anywhere. And if Netanyahu and his ilk, those on the right in government with him, continue on this turbocharged path of both settlements and killing the two-state option and of becoming part of a trend on the right of illiberal ethno-nationalist democracy, this is perhaps building up some real problems for the future. That future may lie beyond the political horizons of Netanyahu. So from his perspective, it may not be a big deal. From Israel's perspective, it could be a very big deal indeed.
And it sounds like, Danny Levy, what you might be suggesting is Benjamin Netanyahu now, after this confrontation at the Security Council, knowing he can put down a very conservative marker, right? Donald Trump is going to appoint David Friedman as U.S.-Israel ambassador, somebody staunchly pro-settlement, staunchly pro-Israel, criticized already for being a real kind of American-Israel hawk. And the message, it seems, to the world is that there's at least a couple of years of a pause button here on any attempt for a two-state solution, if not killing it entirely.
Well, we're on a prolonged pause, and the prolonged pause is on the two-state solution. The prolonged pause is primarily driven by the continued Israeli moves to render meaningless the idea of a Palestinian state by taking more Palestinian land, legalizing previous confiscations, entrenching rather than beginning to undo Israeli control. But what the question that I think we'll be asking ourselves soon is, with the Trump administration, is it what you see is what you get? Trump himself, the appointment or the nomination of this chap Friedman to be the ambassador, some of the comments of the national security advisor to be General Flynn, all of these things suggest that Israel will be able to do its worst when it comes to settlement activity. That's one option. That option may not play out so well for Netanyahu, because if an already overconfident Israeli right goes too far, this could cause backlash, not in America perhaps, But elsewhere in the world, in the Arab world, amongst the Palestinians, and perhaps even domestically, if, and this is what has happened in the last days since the resolution, if the Israeli public see that these policies are not serving them. The other alternative is that there will be others in the room of the Trump administration who say, wait a minute, this may be nice to have this love affair with Netanyahu, but does it serve the American national interest when Netanyahu is doing things with his government that undermine American interests, make America look bad, that has security blowback consequences, and it further destabilizes an already destabilized region? That is the position that General Mattis took when he was head of the Central Command of the American military, and he is the nominate to be Defense Secretary. So it's not a given that giving Netanyahu carte blanche and the blowback that may cause for America is going to be the sustained Trump policy. And the other thing he's going to face is that if the message to the Palestinians is action at the United Nations, diplomatic political action, is blocked, it's finished, there's nowhere to go with it, then the signal you're sending is that nonviolence has no prospects. And that is a terrible signal to send to people living under the conditions of dispossession and disenfranchisement that characterize Palestinian existence. Because then you're giving a huge shot in the arm to the hardliners who would prefer to pursue other means.
Danny Levy, president of the U.S. Middle East Peace Project, thank you for joining us once again.
My pleasure. Thank you, Todd.